Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord you're able to join me for the broadcast today. With the Lord's help, we're going to continue on with a message I began a couple days ago on after the fire, and we're looking at the life of Elijah, a portion of time in which he was really discouraged, depressed, disheartened, because all that he had done to serve the Lord seemed to have brought forth no fruit. There was not the revival he had hoped for. People were, in spite of the miraculous display of God's power on Mount Carmel, they did not respond. They did not turn back to the Lord. In fact, his very life was being threatened by Jezebel, and he ran for his life. And he basically asked God to just take me home, Lord. I've done everything I know to do, and I'm not better than my fathers. He requested to die. Of course, God didn't answer that. And the angel of the Lord strengthened him and brought him in strength with the angel's food and water he had prepared for him as he was sleeping under a juniper. And he goes to Mount Horeb, and God asks a question, and he said, "What are you doing, Elijah?" And generally when God asks a question, it's not because he needs to know the answer. He wants to hear what our answer is going to be. And so Elijah answers him. But we were looking at, on yesterday's broadcast, how was Elijah feeling? He had expected a tremendous turnabout of God's people. They apparently had seemed to recognize God's power by saying, "The Lord, He is God." Yet there was not the revival he had anticipated, and furthermore, his life was being threatened, and he felt totally isolated. He felt really alone. And I would expect some of you listening, the Lord has just brought you to listen to this broadcast because that's how you feel. You feel very isolated, very alone in all the things, in your efforts for the Lord, which the Lord alone knows all that you have done. You feel that it has just been totally unsuccessful. You haven't seen any kind of results, and it's just downright disheartening. So he was depressed, he was discouraged, he was disappointed, he felt really alone, he felt isolated. He left his servant and just traveled a day's distance into the wilderness to be alone, be by himself. And also, what do you suppose could be going on in his heart? Well, James said he's a man of like passions as we are. And haven't you often felt when you've tried your best and you've been disappointed, don't you sense an attitude of failure, that somehow your efforts weren't good enough? So obviously he must have had some sense of failure. Obviously God had done his part. He had strengthened him supernaturally. He had brought down fire out of heaven miraculously, and the stones, the sacrifice, the wood was totally consumed, even though it was soaked with water. Totally a supernatural demonstration of God's power and reality. Also, how else? Well, you know, many times where we knock ourselves out, we do everything God tells us to do. And sometimes, let's be honest, it's possible to get upset or angry at God. What does he say when God asks him, "What are you doing, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for God." That's what he says. "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. But you see those children of Israel, see what they've done. They've thrown down your altars, they're killing the prophets, and I'm alone, the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." That doesn't sound like Like, he's very happy. Obviously, he is saying, God, I've been very zealous for you, but obviously God hadn't been very zealous for himself. He hadn't done anything to change the hearts of the people. There was still open rebellion of the people that he was allowing. He was not stopping the slaughter of his prophets. And now there's a persecution of his one champion, which is Elijah, with the loss of his very life. So he was not a happy camper. He was feeling threatened. So, beloved, how can you relate to this man? Don't you just love Elijah? Because he's so human. Those are all the feelings that we would feel. And so many of you, you've been in that place. If you may not be there now, you've known what it is to feel so discouraged after you've really expended yourself. And there have been what seems to be no results. But the important thing to remember is that you have been obedient. And you know, the answer to that is, all it is required is that we're obedient and then leave the results to God. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. So let's go on now to read verses 11 through 14. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. This is God speaking to Elijah. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, he asked the same question, what doest thou here, Elijah? So, what can we see? What are the lessons here in this passage of Scripture? Well, first of all, we see God tells Elijah, go stand upon the mount before the Lord. And, well, you know, as I'm reading this, actually, it doesn't say that's what God told him to do, and it said God passed by. But after all these manifestations occurred, it says he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, and stood in the entering in of the cave. So basically, it sounds like he didn't go out on the mount, but what happened was an incredible display of God's power. We see natural forces at work, and they're representing powerful, spectacular, awe-inspiring dimensions of God's power in the natural world. And actually, they're all symbols of the Lord in the Scripture. Wind, we know, is a symbol of God, of the Holy Spirit. We know at Pentecost, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. We see an earthquake. God used that many times as a symbol and will do that. We see that in the book of Revelation as a symbol of the power of God as well as his judgment. We see the earthquake can be a recognition of the power of God. Remember when they were praying in Acts, the place where they were praying was shaken with the power of God? And then, of course, remember Paul and Silas in prison? The earthquake caused all the bands, their bonds, to be broken. And then the tremendous earthquake on Mount Sinai when God appeared in a flaming fire and all the people of Israel heard the voice of God. And, of course, I'm speaking now of Sinai. There's also the fire. That's a symbol of the presence and holiness of God. Speaking of purifying and of testing. And of course, we know when God spoke to Moses, it was a burning bush. There was fire around a bush that was not being consumed. It wasn't a natural fire. And, you know, as I read this just before coming on the broadcast, I saw something I hadn't seen before. In verse 11, it said, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. Now, this was truly a supernatural event, even though it was the wind of the Lord. But there's never, that I've been aware, where rocks are literally broke in pieces because of wind. Beloved, that is an amazing thing. I mean, it's not just trees being knocked over and, you know, houses being blown over or rocks even being moved, but to be broken in pieces, that is a powerful display of God's holiness. and his power. He was demonstrating his control over all the natural elements of this world. But you know what? It's very interesting, and especially if I'm correct in understanding that he didn't go out and stand upon the mount. He just stayed where he was. And after all of that, then he went out. The Lord spoke to him again. And what I surmised from all of this, because we want to apply lessons to our lives. Here was Elijah, a prophet of God who knew God. What we can say is the spectacular or miraculous is not enough to convince man. You know, in the times of Jesus, so often the unbelieving, the Pharisees or Herod, they wanted to see a miracle. Show us a miracle. We'll believe who you are. And we also know, remember, Jesus spoke about Lazarus, the beggar who died, and the rich man who was in hell. And the rich man was pleading with Abraham, that his brothers could be warned or that he could come back and tell them about this terrible place that he was in. And Jesus said, though one come back from the dead, they will not believe if they do not believe Moses and the prophets. And so, beloved, in spite of what people want to see, you know, they want to see signs and wonders and the spectacular. In reality, and I want you to really hear this, the only real conversion or responsiveness that a man or woman can experience is if that person responds to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So that's a powerful revelation we need to grasp. Jesus said, even if someone rose from the dead, even if there were all kinds of signs and wonders, that's not enough to convict. It's the responding to the Holy Spirit, that still small voice in the conscience of a man. That is the way there is real change, and God was demonstrating that in the very life of Elijah. Well, beloved, my time has flown again, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. We are at a crucial point, but in order to continue on, I invite you to tune in tomorrow at this same time. The announcer will give our contact information. If you do have prayer needs, if you feel like you're Elijah and you're all alone, you're not alone. The Lord is with you, and I'm here to stand with you in prayer. I invite you to accept that invitation. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.